I want you to look at Revelation 21. And in particular, verse 1, you'll notice the emphasis here on the word new. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city." Here it is, New Jerusalem. Verse 5, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." A few days from today, a lot of children and teenagers, and not a few grown-ups, are going to unwrap a gift or be presented with one, which grants to them something new. A new watch, a new bike, a new phone, maybe even a new 8K OLED super thin smart TV, the newest of the new. And then, of course, a few days after all that newness, the entire world will be celebrating something else that is new, and that is the year 2021. Happy New Year will be on a lot of people's minds, not to mention, with this coming new year comes a new Congress, a new administration, a brand new Supreme Court justice recently, a new national champion in college football. Never mind, that'll be the same one as always. Sorry about that. And yes, all of this has reminded me of what's real and true and eternal and glorious when it really comes to newness. And in particular, what this text in Revelation tells us concerning what is really old, really new and truly old. And so, beloved, I truly hope you'll listen carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject on with the new. You know, in the 17th century, there was an old folk song that said, "It is good to be merry and wise. It is good to be honest and true. It is best to be off with the old before you are on with the new." Well, if you know history, if you know humanity, and especially if you know Scripture, then you know that believers are the only ones who will ever truly be on with the new. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful, as always and as ever, for your word. Perhaps at more time, more so now, because of the state of affairs in our nation, our society, in the world itself, we are thankful for your word. And today we will hear from it, and we pray your help through your Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds and our hearts to your glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Three things that I want us to consider this morning from this glorious text and revelation which God gave to John, so that you and I on this December Lord's Day in 2020 would know some things with certainty, and then knowing these things would live more faithfully, more victoriously here in these last days. Three things about newness. The first one you'll notice, number one, is that people yearn. This is obvious, but people yearn. They long for something new. In other words, mankind, by his very nature, has a yearning for something different. That's why verse 5, you'll see, uses the exclamatory word, behold. Behold, it's a strong word. And who is it that says, behold? Is it John? Is it the writer of Revelation? Is it the King James translators? No, no, no. He that sat upon the throne said. This is God. This is Jesus. This is God saying, behold, I make all things new. You see, folks, what this text does is address and answer every person's longing for that which is new. And it does so by telling us the truth about it. You'll remember that it was Solomon who wrote, "There's nothing new under the sun." Well, folks, if there's nothing that's really new down here, that's under the sun, and man has a yearning constantly for new things, you can be absolutely certain that Satan will exploit that very dilemma. And he does every day. What God does is explain it, expose it, reveal to us how to expect it. And he does so from his very throne. Behold, he says. You know, there's something about newness. In fact, there's something about even perceived newness, like a new year that's really an arbitrary date on a calendar. There's something about starting over again, or having a brand new slate, or a fresh new beginning. Mankind universally longs for newness. It's while in the old covenant, God had Rosh Hashanah in Exodus 12, blow the shofar and start all over again, a whole new slate. New places, new dates, new things, new opportunities. For some people, new shoes, that's all they care about a few days from now because it'll trump all the old ones. For others, it's new golf clubs, a new shiny truck. For some people, that new car smell, it's new. It's worth $35,000. And it's not just new things either. Acts chapter 17, Luke characterized the Athenians as philosophers who, quote, here it is, spent all their time in nothing else either to tell or to hear some new thing. And it is true. We're all by nature creatures that are drawn to novelty. And on Christmas morning, with all those shiny new gadgets and brand new clothes and those things practically still in their boxes, it's appealing. Man, in his short-lived nature, welcomes everything and anything that appears new. And mainly because everything around him is growing so old, so quickly. Which brings us to the second observation in light of this text. We said, number one, that man longs for something new. I think that's obvious. It's self-evident. The second thing I want you to consider is that, number two, there's nothing from this world that is truly or permanently new. Look again at verse 1, chapter 21. John says, I saw a new heaven. What? A new one? Not the ones with the constellations that we all know? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? For the first heaven and the first earth, wait a minute, that's where we're at now, were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, folks, you think about the ramifications of that one statement in the Bible for just one moment. Because, you know, if there's anything that appears to be permanent, terra firma, if there is anything that appears to be lasting in this world, it's the heavens. It's the earth. It's the sea. That ocean just 9 miles east of here, folks, that's the same body of water that Columbus sailed on in 1492. It is the exact same ocean that the Mayflower came over on in 1620 with Brother Worcester and some others in this room we love. And you know, the heavens, so many times I go out at night, I see the same stars. When I see the belt of Orion, I realize this. I look at them up there in the sky, those three stars. And oftentimes I think that's exactly what Abraham saw. Same three stars. That's exactly what Job saw in the sky. Galileo, Copernicus. I remember seeing a photograph from the space shuttle a few years ago of the Horn of Africa. And I remember looking at it and thinking, that looks exactly like the same outline laid out by the Romans who sailed there in search of frankincense and cinnabar and dragon's blood 2,000 years ago. That's cinnabar, not cinnabun. Columbus went to the mall to get cinnabun, amen? But it's true, you look at the heavens, you look at the earth, you look at the sea, and typically what you think is terra firma. You think solid ground, it's stability and permanence. But as the text shows, what you're really looking at is something that's old and growing older. In fact, it's passing away. This world actually has an expiration date. It's a shelf life. So guess what? Anything and everything that comes out of and from this world, as Solomon said, under the sun, anything and everything that comes here is instantly old. You say, no, Pastor, you don't understand. My birthday last week, I got a brand new iPhone 12. Okay. But that brand new iPhone 12 for you is already a week old. It's as old as the manufacturing date from China. And by this time on your next birthday, it'll be It'll be a year old. It'll be so old you will say to your wife or your mom or your dad or wherever you got it from, you're going to say to your whoever, you're going to say, I need a new one. This one's old. They don't even make these anymore. It's weak compared to what's coming out. You know, the new models are coming out in 2021. 2021's a few days away. iPhone 13. When that comes out, your 12 is old. And there's four models coming out next year. One of them has no ports. Yours is going to be old. It's already old. I mentioned earlier the familiar words of Solomon, who wrote about new things, right? I'm going to read them to you exactly what he said. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It hath been already of old time which was before us. Now, hear me carefully. What's he saying? Solomon simply recognized the truth that everything under the sun, that is, everything that comes out and from this world, is intrinsically old and growing older. Nothing, beloved, here is permanently new. The Roman philosopher Seneca came to the end of his oratorical career in his life, and he made that famous statement, nothing new I see, nothing new I do. You see, folks, what Solomon meant when he wrote Ecclesiastes is that there is nothing new under the sun as a source of fulfillment. That there is nothing out there that was new and on the market that will give you any source of happiness. Nothing new under the sun that meets or satisfies our desire as human beings for that which is new, which presents a problem. Does it not? I mean, think about it. Look, mankind has a desire for things that are truly never within his reach. So what does he do? Well, he reaches for more. And he reaches harder. He grasps for everything that appears to be new. That new car didn't do it? Well, maybe if I get a newer car next time around, and then a newer house, or maybe if the newest car didn't do the trick, I'll get the newest prototype model that's so new nobody else has it except for me. That'll satisfy my yearning for newness. No, it won't. What about that guy? You remember, he got the very first prototype lava lamp that he probably put on top of his brand new one-of-a-kind 8-track stereo. And don't you know that while he was sitting there at night watching that red lava gloop go up and down and listening to the newest brand new hit by the Bee Gees, that he was just happy and oh so fulfilled in life. For how long? The lava lamps now are at the Smithsonian or a flea market. And Andy's the only one who likes the Bee Gees that I know of. Now it's all nostalgia. By the way, did it ever occur to you that nostalgia, ironically, is just an effort to reach backwards for something new in your life? People in their 70s and 80s love to talk about the 50s, the good old days, eat out at diners. And they love to go to diners because it remembers what it felt like when the A&W floats were new to them. But this is the problem. Hear me carefully. Nothing is really new under the sun. The newest thing in the world right now is already growing old, so that the newness of it will eventually fade away, including whatever you're getting for Christmas. You say, Pastor, aren't you the Christmas killjoy? I'm so glad I came to church today. Humbug. Anyway. Okay, well, that brings me then to the third observation in the text and to a truth that I believe all of us, need to rejoice in and remember, and most especially at the end of one year and the beginning of another year. We said, number one, man longs for new things. We said, number two, the dilemma is that there is nothing in this world that is permanently new, and there's not. And only a fool, the Bible says, Jesus said, thou fool, only a fool spends his life trying to get those things under the sun to fulfill his heart. Most importantly, I want you to notice number three. It is a truth that God has the power and a plan to make all things new forever. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, there's that word, I make all things new. By the way, notice that the throne where Christ is seated is not under the sun. And he that reigns from that throne can make anything new for eternity, including, by the way, and beginning with man himself. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, well, where is he? He's above the sun. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things for that man are become new. Wait a minute, all things are new? Folks, that is exactly what the text says in verse 5. Behold, Jesus said, I make all things new. Can I just add that that's reason number 197 why I believe in eternal security? When Jesus makes the new heaven and the new earth, guess what? It's new forever. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new, which means what? It means, beloved, that my body, this body is getting old. My eyes are getting old. See the size of that Bible? My hands are getting old. My mind is getting old. In fact, I realized a few days ago that there are advantages. One of the advantages of getting old is that now, if there's a hostage situation, I have a better chance of getting released first. Amen? Someone was saying to me last month, Pastor, you keep, because it was Thanksgiving dinner, you keep moving the goalposts on these senior saints Thanksgiving fellowships. It used to be 55 and older, then 60, and now it's 65 and older. That's right. Next month, I turn 63. And one of these days, I might qualify to be a senior saint at Beacon Baptist Church. Or we might have the only church in America where senior saints are 90 and older someday. It'll happen. But it's true. You and I, our bodies are growing older. Can I tell you what's not gotten older about me? In fact, guess what God says is just as new as it was when I was 12 years of age and I accepted Christ? Not my body. Not my mental abilities or my reflexes. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, this, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed, new, day by day. You know why? Because, folks, when a person experiences the new birth, that's what Jesus called it. You must be born again. When a believer experiences that new birth, his spirit is just as new 1,000 years later as it was the day that he got saved. I can tell you this morning with all the conviction of my soul that I am not simply what I was at my first birth on January the 15th, 1958, because I know that since my second birth, another life, a second and higher existence, as Paul testified, wrestles with that lower self, and it is kept by the Holy Spirit of God, sealed until the day of redemption. So that day by day and year by year, I can sense, I can tell more than ever that the inner man that was birthed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God 50 years ago when I got saved, that man, as he draws closer and closer to Jesus Christ who sits upon that throne, he's not at all growing older, only nearer to the things and to the one who makes all things new. I've been with old saints of God in the same room as a young, rebellious, lost soul. Same room, old saint of God, and I can tell you which one was really old and growing older. So that, in other words, beloved, you don't have to reach out every week to grasp for something new. You don't have to have that disappointing feeling the day or the week after Christmas because that new thing has already started to wear off and got a scratch or a dent. You are new. And the destiny that God has chosen for every one of us in Christ is eternally new. Behold, Jesus says. That word behold means to attend, to look, to consider. Behold, I make. Who makes this? I make. Who makes? Jesus Christ, the same one who made the heavens and the earth, who's making the new heaven and the new earth. Behold, he says, I make all things new. And boy, does he ever. Jesus took the old covenant and the old testament. He took the old Adam and the old law and the old Jerusalem and the old heaven and the old earth. And throughout this entire book of Revelation now, he speaks only of the new Jerusalem, the new testament, the new heaven, the new earth, the new covenant that he's given to us, the new name, the new song. Do you want to see something new that is your birthright if you're a child of God? That you don't have to grasp out for, but that God has granted to you by word of his promise? Look at verse 4. It says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. There were tears in here this morning in the Knapp's eyes. But it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Notice verse 5. And God shall wipe, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. There are people in this room right now who have chronic pain. For the former things, all those new things that were never really new, are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I'll say this. That's new. I've seen a lot of tears. I've seen a lot, buckets and buckets of tears from people through all these decades of ministry and counseling. Our life is filled with tears. Little baby comes into this world crying. They oftentimes leave the world crying in their old age. A couple days ago, I was briefly thinking about something. And all of a sudden, I noticed my shirt was wet. And I thought, what in the world? I didn't even realize. The tears had been coming off my face. There's nothing new about tears and sorrows down here. Same old reality. But Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. No tears. That's new. Here's something new. Look at verse 23, same chapter. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. No need to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, folks, one of the things we do whenever we receive something beautiful is we make sure to take it into some light so that we can really see it. As we noted last week in the message, light is necessary for the eye to perceive beauty. There's no radiance flashing from a ruby or a sapphire without light. There's no glow to the pearl. There's no brilliance in a painting. There's no appreciation for anything that is beautiful until and unless it's in the light. And one of the things God is telling us here, one of the things we noted last week that is brand new to us, is that with perfect light, Christ is going to reveal the beauty of his salvation that he has wrought inside of you. Christians are called God's jewels. They are adorned in his robe. They exhibit his pearl of greatest price. The New Testament word is glorified, and none of that glory will ever for eternity be hid in the darkness. And he which hath begun this good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's not all. Look at verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. Well, that's new. Total security. The reason for that new thing, what's old is insecurity. And the reason for that new thing is the other new thing in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. That whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Wow. Talk about new. Some of you in this room or listening have been victimized in recent weeks or months by some injustice. Many of you have been burdened by things that defile. Every time you hear on the news a story about some child that's been abducted or life that's been taken, or verse 27, you'll see it says, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that maketh a lie." You've been lied to. You've been lied about. We've all been lied to, have we not, in this country? Lies are everywhere. Not to mention you've told your own lies and you were convicted and feel guilty about it. So glorious is this new work of Jesus Christ that none of those things will exist. People often ask me, what are you looking forward to when you get to heaven? I can tell you one of the things I'm most looking for, no longer having to war against this flesh. No longer having to battle a carnal mind. Mine or anybody else's. Because behold, he maketh all things new. And beloved, every single moment of every single day, we are a part of that new work right now. You say, how so, Pastor? The last line of verse 27 says, they, look at it, which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We sing the song, there's a new name written down in glory. And there is. Jesus is always and ever somewhere making men and women new. And that newness is forever. Think about it. It's new forever. So that his admonition is real. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's the only hope for the yearning that you have for something that is new. It is to set your affections on things above the sun. There's nothing wrong with receiving something new next week. So long as you discern and you know and you see and you understand that it's not new at all. And as anything else that's under the sun, it's really vanity. That it is already older than it was yesterday. That what is new and will always be new is the hope that lies within us. And why? Now I want you to hear this. This is the most important, for my sake, in this message and the point of this message, this is the most important thing we're going to say. Why? Why is this important? Why did God reveal to John so that he could reveal to us? Why is this helpful and glorious and not just about us? Okay, think about this. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." Now here's what happens. Obviously, everybody always quotes that verse and they focus on the answer. Be ready to give an answer. Know it. Apologetics. Answer every man. Have your reasons. But I want you to think for a moment instead about the question. You see, for Peter, the question is not, how do you explain a young earth to unbelievers? The question is not supposed contradictions in the Bible or the mystery of the origin of sin. He's not talking about that at all. The question from those people is about the hope that lieth within you. I want you to think about that. Because Peter said, be ready when someone asks you about this hope that is inside of you. Beloved, what kind of a life must we live for the people around us to ask us about a hope that lies inside of us? What kind of a life must we be living in front of others where they would come to us and ask us, what is this about you? What's inside of you that's so hopeful when there's no hope anywhere else in the world? Who lived that kind of a life? I can tell you. It is people who live not for new things down here, grasping, reaching, taking, holding. No one asks those people anything spiritually. Nobody asks them about anything what's inside of them. Those who live for all things new, up there. Those who have a hope in here because they know that all of their new things are there forever, those are the ones that people want to know, how do you do it? Where's your courage and your faith and your boldness and your strength? Be ready to give an answer to those people about that question, about the hope that lies in you. And the reason they're asking is because they see something about you that comes from within. Behold, he maketh all things new. God did not tell us this glory and all these new things about heaven so that it would be, quote, pie in the sky. God told us so that we would obey what Jesus said, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. There's nothing new here. There's nothing new under the sun. But glory to God, there is an eternal newness that began when you became a new creature. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're listening, and you know what the Bible says? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. You know what? Maybe you've never been in Christ. You've not accepted Christ. You've not been born again. Today is the day for that. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for these who have asked for prayer, and several hands, Lord, for people who said, I need to be saved. May this be the day of salvation for them, for every believer here. May we rededicate ourselves, Lord, to setting our affections on that which is above and seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Bless the invitation to that end. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.